Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture. With your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. Tonight's guest has a string of award-winning books to her credit. Her most recent endeavor is a mystery novella called The Case of the Homeless Pup, which was launched via social media recently. J.A. Menzies is on the phone from her Markham home to talk about the novella and the launch. But first, let's listen to It's All Good from Allie Matthews' Tell Me a Story CD.
Cloudy sky, so what? Another lousy guy. Well, I swallowed all my foolish pride. Now I'm thinking there must be a bright side. Well, right now I'll stop crying over all that I'm not. Right now I'll think of all the things that I've got. 'Cause baby, I can choose the words that I say. Oh, and it's a change the world if I could. And things don't always go like they should, but it's all good. It's all good. It's all good. So what? My dreams went up in smoke. So what? My life's a mess and I'm flat broken. And I could use a fresh perspective. Well, right now I'll stop crying over things that have passed. Right now I cherish all the love that will last. Well, this life is crazy anyway. Yes, and it's a lovely, lovely day. Even my blues are the coolest shade of periwinkle. Look behind. Change the world if I could. And things don't always go like they should, but it's all good. It's all good. It's all good.
And end our conversation with J.A. Menzies. Good evening, J.A.
Hi. Great now, to be here.
Good. The Case of the Homeless Pug is the first Manzik and Ryan novella. You've already written a number of novels with the protagonist in that. Let's go back and answer it. What led you into writing in the mystery genre?
Oh, in the mystery genre. I have been a huge fan of mysteries since I was about, I'd say, around 9, when I found my first, I think my very first mystery was a Ginny Gordon. My second was a Trixie Belden. And I was totally hooked from then on. And that is still my go-to kind of book. So
I remember reading Trixie Belden and Hardy Boys and a few others in that as I was growing up in that as well. Were some of these influences on you? Who have been some of the key writers that you are go-to as influences in what you've been doing?
Well, actually, I love the Trixie Belden books enough that I was still collecting the new ones when they came out when I was probably in my 20s or so. But I moved on fairly quickly into Agatha Christie, who remains, one of my go-to books. I think I have most of her books. And Dorothy Sayers and Marjorie Allingham. In other words, the Golden Age novelists.
Well, of Agatha Christie, who is your favorite protagonist?
Already sort of in there. Georgette Heyer is probably my very, very, very favorite. And Niall Marsh, I actually just reread all 31 or 32 books in order this winter. Just, it was really cool as a novelist to watch the progression and see how she occasionally brought a character back and things like that. So Those would be my favorites, but I read all kinds.
Mm-hmm. Well, going back to Agatha Christie, did you ever have a favorite protagonist amongst hers, like between Poirot and Miss Marple and some of the others?
Probably Poirot. I like Miss Marple too, but.
Well, from your perspective, as you've been reading this, and like you say, that was a golden age of mystery writers, and that, what makes a good mystery story?
Actually, yesterday I read a terrible one, and I can tell you what doesn't make a good one. I have to care about the characters. I don't read just for the plot. There have to be characters that I care about. There has to be a sense of realism, but I don't really want to go into all the gory stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a fan of murder. I hate it. And I remember Agatha Christie said something like that, too. Like, it's not that you're glorifying it, it's that you hate it. And I try in my own books to have that sense of this is terrible, this is hurtful. But at the same time, I love the puzzle aspect.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a combination of characters that I actually care about and a plot where I really usually don't guess who did it, or if I do, I don't guess for the right reasons, or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be entertained. I also really appreciate authors who have a little bit of humor along with, you know, the other stuff,
mm-hmm.
which is why I'm a huge fan of Georgette Heyer in particular.
Mm-hmm. Are there any of the current novelists out there that you like as well?
Oh, yeah. Donna Andrews is one that I really like. She's very funny, but usually her plots are pretty good. Murder with Peacocks, her very first book, is one of my favorites. And Louise Penny, although I wasn't a fan of her last book, she is an amazing writer, and her plots are very intricate.
Mm-hmm.
I could go on and on.
Yeah.
Go to Crime Writers of Canada and check out their list.
Mm-hmm.
Tons of great Canadian writers.
Yeah. One I've been picking up on lately is Ian Rankin, the whole Rebus.
Yeah.
The Rebus series and actually some of the ones that he's done that are outside of Rebus but within that same milieu of Glasgow and Edinburgh and the whole thing. So now as we've been talking, I'm sure some of our listeners may have recognized your voice.
We've done some interesting things, very very different. His protagonist is 11 years old.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure some of our listeners have recognized your voice by now, but not the name. Now, you write under a couple of different names. What kind of led to that whole choice of deciding to use pen names and that for different genres and different styles?
Well, I originally didn't, and then I ended up with people going to my website looking for one kind of book and discovering that I also write YA novels. Things like that. And so if you're looking for my mysteries and you're finding inspirational young adult novels that aren't in any way, you know, shape or form mysteries, you would get confused. And so when I was publishing my third mystery, I just made the decision that I knew I should have made in the beginning, which was to use a pseudonym for my mysteries. So that's what I did. And I'm debating whether or not to use a pseudonym for the fantasy that I have coming out from middle grades, so yeah. I think just it's two reasons really. It's confusing to readers when what you're writing is very different. But secondly, it's in this day and age, it's a whole branding thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get people to go to my website and subscribe, or become part of my readers group or fan group, whatever. And so if you have, you know, two or three different genres, you're going to have two or three different audiences. So it would be like if Pepsi was also making smocks for children. Like, you wouldn't put them on the same website, right?
Mm-hmm.
Totally different thing. So that's a big part of it. So I actually have like four different websites because I also do stuff for writers and so forth. So just the separation was very freeing to me, if not for anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I mean, you're one of these writers who does a lot of your own self-publishing through the different titles from That's Life Communications and stuff like that, and you've got the different subtitles. And does it help it when you're doing it, especially as a self-published writer, to keep those areas separate so that the people who are looking for that specific type of work can find it a lot easier?
Yeah, first of all, I wouldn't call myself self-published. Nothing against the term, but we actually have been an independent publisher since the fall of 1999. So the term I would use is indie published, because a lot of people who self-publish, like, take their book to a company and get them to publish it for them. We've never done that. We actually act as a publisher, so mm-hmm. we hire an editor, we hire a cover designer, layout person as needed. And the term being used right now is indie publishing, but we were using that way back in 1999. So just a little thing there.
Okay.
But yeah, we even have my brain's gone, a sub-brand, what do you call it, an imprint.
Mm-hmm.
So under That's Life Communication, which publishes the Hot Apple Cider anthologies and my YA novels and some other things, we have Murder Will Out Mysteries, and that's the publisher of the mysteries, so we even separate that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to get talking about the mystery, and to do that, we're going to take a quick break and continue our conversation with author J.A. Menzies, and we're going to talk about The Case of the Homeless Pup. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
I'm the girl in the green room getting ready for the show. Now the audience is waiting, and it's almost time to go. I've got these songs here in my pocket, and my heart out on my sleeve. I'll leave my nerves here in the green room, so be gentle with me, please. Well, you might laugh, you might weep, you might drift away to sleep. You could embrace me like a baby, me up like meat. It's not applause that I will sing for, not your praise that is my end, but it's the mystery of moving from a stranger to a friend, yeah. Oh, well, I can be as tough as concrete or as fragile as a rose, and we'll share this tender hour just like lovers, I suppose. Hear the hope inside your laughter, see the pain behind your eyes. Our hearts are naked with the music as we sway inside to side. This is my glory, hand in hand with my doom, 'cause I'm the girl all alone in the green.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to The Girl in the Green Room from Allie Matthews' Tell Me a Story CD. I'm your host, Robert White. We're going to continue our conversation with author J.A. Menzies. And now you've already written a number of Manziak and Ryan novels. What led to writing the novella?
Well, it all had to do with marketing. right now, our primary focus in marketing is ebooks. Not because I think they're better than print books, because, you know, I still prefer to read the print book.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, as an independent writer and publisher, it's far easier for me to reach people through ebooks than it is through print books, because print books requires getting into bookstores, getting known and whatnot, which is almost impossible. Not quite, but almost impossible. Whereas for me to get my ebook out there is very doable. And in fact, indie published writers are really, really moving along and making a lot of money doing what they're doing. So that's kind of where we're going. And what we're doing is called a funnel. So we have a free book. So you can go anywhere Amazon, iTunes, Kobo, whatever, and get my first novel, Shaded Light, by J.A. Menzies, free as an ebook, pretty well anywhere. And then what we want people to do is to come to my website and sign up to be part of my reader group. And I was giving people my second novel, Glitter of Diamonds. Now, each of those books is 125,000 words, so they're big books. And it seemed a bit much. So then we were hoping after reading those two, you would go and buy Shadow of a Butterfly, the third book. And we just felt we're giving away a little too much here. And so at Christmas time, my husband Les and I were talking about marketing and what should we do this year. And we decided that what I should do is to write a novella, a shorter novel, and use that as the book that I give away on my website when you sign up. And so that's what we did. And I had had an idea running through my mind. I follow the York Region Police and the Toronto Police. And I can tell you, virtually every day, there are 3, 4, 5, even up to 7 or 8 people who are missing. And most of them get found, but some of them don't. And so I'd had this idea kind of floating through my mind. And I realized it would be perfect for a novella, because when I do my novels, I introduce you to the people first, then there's a murder, then the police come in. But for somebody who finds something, you know, part of a body that has been missing for a while, I can't give you that information up ahead of time. And so it just seemed like the perfect idea for a novella, and that's what I went with.
Well, let's talk about that whole novel-novella difference. And what is the difference between a novel and a novella, other than length? I mean, you mentioned, you know, your novels are 120-some-odd thousand words, and I know, having read The Case of the Homeless Pup last night, that's nowhere near that length. So other than the length, what are some of the differences between the two?
Yeah, novellas are usually between about 20,000 and 40,000 words, which really means they're long, short stories. Okay, like really long, short stories. And so, for one thing, you can't have as many subplots. I usually have probably 8 or more subplots in my novels. You just can't do that. Secondly, you can't have as many characters, because you just don't have room for them. And so it just, it's just kind of the novel sort of pared down, like, you know, just if you're layering it, you can't do as many layers. And and yet, you know, there are books that only have like 6 characters, so you can still do a lot with a fewer number of characters.
Mm-hmm. Now, in looking at novellas and novels and that, is one easier to write than the other, or do they both have their own separate challenges?
I think they both have their own challenges. I think, obviously, the novella is easier to write simply because it doesn't have the same amount of complexity. It doesn't, you know, require as much editing. You know, the timeline can be much shorter. So I wrote this in a couple of months and got it edited and everything and out. Whereas the novel that I'm working on, the fourth novel, which has the working title Fluorescent Blaze, it's just a lot more involved in every way. I have to get into the heads of every character, and I have to figure all, you know, where I'm going to go, and it's just a lot more involved.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot more thinking as well as a lot more writing.
Right. Now, in looking at that and looking at, you talked about getting it out and that, one of the things that you did with launching the novella was using a social media launch, which is something that seems to be becoming a trend amongst writers, to use social media to get people interested in it. Is there a reason behind this new trend?
Well, Facebook has just made things really easy. You know, in the past, when my books came out, I, you know, where did I go to tell people? And now it's like, if I'm on Facebook, I can have 100 people see something like when I post it, you know? So I think it's just to total ease. I mean, when my first book came out in 1991, I mean, I had no way of finding people. And the biggest problem that any writer has is finding the people that you know would like to read your book if they knew your book existed. And nowadays, through social media, you can find those people. And sometimes it's a friend of a friend. So that's why, like, my primary strategy is actually to get people who like my books to come to my website and subscribe, or apparently that's not a good name. So join my readers group, join my fan club. I've always said that writers need fans just the way musicians do.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I have access to tell you things. So, you know, through an email, I can let you know what's happening and get that personal contact. And that's, you know, really my primary way of letting, it's just letting people know. It's not selling to you. It's, I have something that you like, and presumably you want to know when I have something else. And that's all it really is.
Mm-hmm.
And Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and those other things can all help in doing that.
Yeah. And I think you're seeing more and more writers and more artists are doing that, where they're putting up portions of their art, photos of using Instagram and doing the graphic images and things like that to try and get people interested in, you know, not only the people that as you say are fans, but also have those fans get other people interested in becoming fans as well. Let's take one final break, and then we're going to come back and finish our conversation with writer J.A. Menzies. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
Well, I'm worn like the soles of my old sneakers, and I'm sad like the words in a goodbye song. Oh, I've been spent like my last dollar, and just like yesterday, I'm gone. Oh, I got bit by the crazy love bug, and I fell like a fool, and my heart got stuck. Now I'm lost in a maze of indecision, to run away or stay and trust my luck. Oh, I guess you never know.
Sometimes I just don't know.
Hold on and let it go.
Don't wanna let it go.
It's just the mystery of love. I'm twisting, I'm turning. This long and winding highway, change my mind at every hairpin turn. I'll either find my very own Prince Charming, or chalk it up to one more lesson learned. Yeah, I sure could use some wisdom.
It's just my cynicism.
Hold on and let it go. Just the mystery of love. I'm twisting, I'm turning.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Switchback Heart from Allie Matthews' Tell Me a Story CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with author J.A. Menzies. What was the reaction to the Facebook launch?
It seemed pretty positive. I didn't have a large group, but I didn't actually try to get a large group. It was the people that were invited were more people who were already, people who were already my friends on Facebook or had liked my author page on Facebook. And so it was kind of a smallish group, but you need that closer group. I also did a special for my readers group, my larger readers group, which I think it's about 1,500 people right now, and we're hoping to get it much bigger. So I put the book up at 99 cents for those people for just a couple of days, told them so that they got a special. And then besides that, I also have my my launch team, which is a smaller portion of the big group, and they got advance copies because they hopefully will write a review.
Mm-hmm.
So I had like a multi-strategy kind of deal, and we're also doing Facebook ads, which is the other thing that's happening right now to get people to come to my website and hopefully join my readers group.
Right.
So I think the Facebook launch was cool. I got to try a few things. I did 6 little mini videos, and now that Facebook allows you to do live videos, that is so nice. So I ended up talking for about an hour and answering people could write their questions in the comments.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really nice, and I'm going to try that in a larger way
next time. Okay. So where can you talked earlier about your website? You talked earlier about getting onto your fan list and your reader circle. Where can people find out more about J.A. Menzies books?
Just go to jamenzies.com. That's jamenzies.com.
Great. J.A., thanks very much for your time tonight.
Thanks very much for having me, Robert.
Thank you for listening to Arts Connection today, and thank you to my guest, J.A. Menzies. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at artsconnection.ca. And be sure to tune in next week at 9 p.m. for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert at artsconnection.ca. Follow us on Twitter at @SayLaw13. Look for the Arts Connection page on Facebook or check out the Arts Connection blog at blog.artsconnection.ca. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.